Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Enjoy Success podcast, where we explore success, real success, defined as having a life rich in the things that matter most: happiness, gratitude, contribution, health, and love. We interview people from all walks of life, all different backgrounds, careers, ages, etc. But the one thing they have in common is that they have created an extraordinary life for themselves. And through their stories, insights, successes, and failures, you will see that regardless of circumstances, we all have the power to create a life we truly love. I'm your host, Jeff Fayetto, and if you're serious about your own personal growth and creating a life you truly love, this is the podcast for you. Enjoy Success is dedicated to bringing you the most holistically successful people on the planet, not only to inspire you with their own stories, but to share their secrets on how you can literally create the life of your dreams. So please make sure to subscribe to the channel so you never miss any of the episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Enjoy Daily. Let me ask you a question. Where are you on your priority list? If you're like most of us, probably not as high as you should be. As a result, we don't enjoy our days as much as we could. We've all heard people say, write down the things you're grateful for, or read something inspirational first thing in the morning, or surround yourself with positive people. But with all the challenges in today's world, adding anything else to our daily to-do list can simply feel overwhelming, unless we make it a game. That's why we created a revolutionary self-care app called Enjoy Daily, which makes self-care a game. Why a game? Because games are fun. Games activate different parts of our brain that make us feel alive. Enjoy Daily uses gamification to trick your brain into feeling good while you are forming self-care habits. So it's not only fun, but you end up actually becoming a better you. Using the latest in positive psychology and neuroscience, Enjoy Daily makes sure you wake up inspired, intentionally create your day, practice being grateful, as well as celebrating the small wins you have each day. Some of it's private, some of it you can share with our global community, but either way, the more self-care acts you do, the more points you earn. And the more points you earn, the higher your chances to win some awesome prizes. And even more importantly, to have your best day every day. Bottom line, the best way to take your self-care seriously is to make it a game. So make yourself the priority you deserve to be and download the Enjoy Daily app today. And now back to the podcast. So today I'm super excited. I have a couple amazing guests joining me today, Jeffrey and Karen Pearl. They are a power couple, and they are soon to be authors of an amazing book called Great Health, Abundant Happiness, Outrageous Love, which is, we're going to get into kind of what a lot of that, but it focuses on the real stuff, relationships, mindfulness, nutrition, you know, really creating this idea of success that we're talking about. There's a lot to these guys, but one of the things that we have to just mention is they've been married for 28, going on 29 years, and have a relationship that most of us, I guess, would say probably don't believe or realize is possible. So we're going to definitely touch on that. Jeffrey was in corporate America. He has an amazing background there. You know, Karen is a powerhouse when it comes to all of the, you know, mindfulness and law of attraction and all of these things, as well as they have two amazing daughters. There's just so much here. So without further ado, I want to welcome Jeffrey and Karen Pearl to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Jeff. Good to see you again.
It's so good to see you guys. Thanks so much for joining. And we always like to jump right in and ask if you guys could do us the favor of defining success in your words.
Okay. Well, I think I'll start off, you know, basically obtaining your happiness. You know, we call it your best life, but, you know, happiness is right up there. And it's not really about, you know, money or the things that you have out there. It's just being grateful for all that you have. And I think that's the one thing we talk about a lot on our YouTube channel, and we'll talk a lot about this in the book, but being grateful for, you know, as we're looking outside, just the sun coming up each day, and, you know, the fact that your heart worked through the night, and, you know, those first breaths of air, the first cup of coffee, you know, it doesn't have to be big, but if you can be grateful for all those pieces and obtain happiness, I feel that that's true success. Wouldn't you agree, Karen?
I agree 100%. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. For us, it's everything, and it has really brought us to where we are at this very moment, which is all that matters right now, is our moment here with you. And if you're grateful for everything, it really eliminates fear, which is what creeps in and takes away all the joy and the happiness and brings our frequencies down. So I agree. Success is definitely gratitude.
So, you know, we hear that leaned into quite a bit. And I always like to kind of ask, were you guys naturally born this way? Was gratitude that default space of defining, or was there a journey to get there? Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I would say that innately, you know, quite a bit of it was there, but you know, it's a constant work in progress. You have to remind yourself each day because, you know, we're not perfect. I mean, there are things going on. We do have, you know, businesses that we're involved in, and you know, there's pressure, time constraints and things like that. And you know, our whole mission is to go out and help others. And because of that, you know, we have a group of people we work with, and you know, they contact us via email. Hey, Jeffrey and Karen, do you have 5 minutes? Hey, can we jump on this call? Hey, did we get that document signed? You know, that kind of stuff starts to build. And you know, we're just like anybody else. You had mentioned, you know, my career in corporate America. I mean, you know, I was one of the first guys in the office, last guys to leave. So I was, you know, hardcore. So when that hardcoreness comes back in and you're trying to get all these tasks done, maybe if it is for the noble activity of helping others, you get crazy about the schedule, and we could tend to even maybe get a little abrasive with each other, which we don't want to do. So you have to remind yourself to take a deep breath and step back and just be happy for everything that we have and be grateful. And guess what? If it doesn't happen today, it can happen tomorrow. But that's not always easy to do, Jeff, right?
It's not easy. And I think, Karen, anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, I'd like to answer that, yes, I think we were born with it. I think every baby is born with it. And that's what's so interesting. And then we're taught to cover it up with all of these layers that are brought into our life from all of the teachers that we have throughout life, our parents, and no disrespect to them. I'm sure that we did it as parents to our children too, unintentionally. Our teachers, you know, sit down, stop exerting that beautiful energy that we all wish we had. It's a crazy phenomenon. So yes, we're all born with it. And then there comes a point in life, we hope for everybody, where you're reminded to start stripping those layers that have covered up this gratitude and all of the love and the joy and the peace and the happiness that's in there, so that you can release it back out and just be joyful for no reason.
Right. I think that is one good reminder there too. We always try to look at the world through childlike eyes. You know, I think as Albert Einstein said that, you know, there's two ways to live your life. One is as if nothing's a miracle. The other is as if everything is a miracle. And when you're a kid, you know, everything is a miracle and you're looking at it and you're just so amazed and so excited. I mean, that's what Karen's talking about. And thank you for the reminder. You know, I think we, society, that's what I'm talking about, starts putting all these layers over that, covering it up, because, you know, you can't afford to look at everything as a miracle if you're going to go out there and grow a company, right? That's what we start getting taught. You know, you've got to focus on the task at hand. Forget about the stuff. You can't look at the birds and the bees and, you know, smile at the sun coming down through the trees, right? I mean, you got to focus on getting business done, right? I mean, this is what we're taught. And those layers just keep getting added on. And I think that, Jeff, that's the challenge. But I mean, we have to keep going back to try to harvest those layers off and get back to our core.
So something happened to you guys right at the beginning of your marriage that when you shared with me the first time, gratitude played a role in this that wouldn't have been maybe a natural, you know, choice for a bunch of us. Can you share that story?
Yeah, well, we were married February 17th, 1991, September 17th, 1991. We got up, normal day. Jeffrey got ready for work. He always left before I did. And for an unknown reason, although I think the universe knows exactly why, I just decided not to go to work that day. I wasn't feeling sick, but I just decided not to go. It's very bizarre. And it was probably a half an hour after Jeffrey left for work, I got a phone call from a female officer. I think that might have been the time. They wanted to make sure it was a woman-to-woman call, very interesting, and letting me know that my husband had been involved in a very serious accident. And the first thing I said is he okay? And she said, I'm sorry, I can't give you any information. He's been brought to such and such hospital. And that was all I knew at that moment. And then from there, I think, you know, Jeffrey should talk about the experience of the accident, because it is mind-blowing, A, that he's here to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was, you know, we were in Boston at the time. We were in a suburb driving down to Boston. Actually, my office was on Revere Beach. So So Route 1 in Boston, for all those in New England, you know how much traffic there is there. But I was one of the first to have a cell phone back then, right? 1991. You know, a cell phone was this coveted thing. You know, we're so excited to have cell phones. You can actually talk on the phone outside in the open air. Crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm driving in to the office. I'm listening to, I think it was probably a Zig Ziglar cassette tape, Positive Attitudes, and I'm getting all pumped up. I was at that point in my career, I was a sales manager, and I had, you know, 8 or 10 salespeople, and I had to go in and run the sales meeting, and I would always take as much positive information as I could to share with the team, try to get them pumped up for the day. On my way in, there was an accident in front of me. It was a Monte Carlo, older gentleman, got in a fender bender, and he just kind of, you know, crippled, moved his car off the side and landed. It was on a cement embutment. And I said, you know, I got a car phone here. I am going to go pull over and help this guy out. So I pulled my car in front of him. I step out of my car. We're all on the side. The traffic had all slowed. And I got out of my car. And at that moment, his engine revved. So he had the engine revving, had his foot floored on the gas and his foot floored on the brake at the same time. And I looked at that, that's kind of strange. Well, the brake let go, slams into my car, drives it in the car in front of me, wheels it left, hits me. I go flying out into the highway, and the cars were moving slowly, so I was kind of okay from the other cars, but he wheels it left and comes right at me. So I remember looking up, and I could still remember it as I'm telling you, like it was yesterday, that bumper, eye level, coming and taking me right out. And so the Monte Carlo drove over my chest. My head was underneath the car, both tires driving across my chest, and he smashed into some cars and stopped down the road. So just to pause there, Jeff, I had two tires pass across my chest, 7 broken ribs, punctured lung. I was conscious the whole time, took a couple steps and keeled over. I always say, I know what it's like for an animal to be hit on the side of the road and the fear and what that feels like, you know, what's coming next kind of a thing. But let me pause there. But that was basically what happened. I think that's what you're asking about.
Yeah.
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 And then?
Pretty harrowing. And so at this point, I'm now getting everything together for him in the house to go to the hospital, having absolutely no idea what I'm walking into. All I know is whatever I'm walking into, Jeff, it's going to be okay. Mm. That was really the feeling that I had. You know, whether he was going to be in a wheelchair, whatever it was, I mean, every thought went through my mind. And I just knew that as long as he was alive, we could deal with anything and it was going to be amazing. And so, you know, I think that gratitude was there then. And what's funny is I put together his favorite, you know, outfit. You know, we all have that outfit we hang out in. And, you know, so I took that outfit as if he was going to put it on and leave the hospital with me. But I think that's all part of the process, part of that manifestation of how it's going to be, you know. And I was doing it unintentionally. Yeah. But I think that's really key that we add manifestation into our minds and do it unintentionally because it really does work. So, yeah.
And I think, you know, going back to before the ambulance came and picked me up and brought me to the hospital, you know, to be honest, I was concerned at first. You know, my first thought was, man, I just know a car just drove over my chest. And your body has this defense mechanism where basically, you know, it locks down somewhat and, you know, there wasn't a lot of pain. There was more like a numbness. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize, you know, how bad the pain was. I did know I was kind of almost in a form of shock. And I'm thinking, you know, could I be dying? You know, as I'm looking up at the clouds and thinking, man, I can't. What's Karen going to do without me? I remember thinking that. What's Karen going to do without me? So when the ambulance came and picked me up and I finally got into the care of medical professionals, I felt a little more settled. And when I got to the hospital, even more so in intensive care. But I think the gratitude piece goes along with, you know, as I felt like I was in the care of medical professionals and I was safe, I could start to now, you know, thank my lucky stars and grateful. And I'll never forget, you know, someone saying, hey, so sorry this happened to you. And I remember responding that, you know, don't be sorry. I mean, this is a really positive experience. I mean, this might sound kind of weird. I just run over by a car. But the fact that, you know, Monte Carlo passed over my chest, two tires across my chest, when they tell a story, you wouldn't think maybe someone might not survive. So the fact that I survived, I mean, I really looked at it as a real positive. It's a really new lease on life, if you will. And, you know, we're here for another mission, right? So it's a positive.
Yeah, a great reminder.
It's beautiful. It's so powerful how you guys share that and one that you are here physically. So thanks for making it through that. And I want to fast forward just a little bit because, you know, then you go from, you know, being this, you know, young salesperson, a sales manager, all the way up to, you know, running large companies, being the CEO and stuff. And what I love is 28 years later, almost 29 years later, you guys are still, you know, really in love and really have this amazing relationship. But as you're doing the corporate thing and you have kids and all the hecticness of life in general, I feel so many business people, men and women, the relationship is where it suffers, their primary relationship. Can you just kind of, I mean, just paint a picture, a little bit of the reality that is first person in, last person out, couple kids at home, all the challenges and of everything you're doing as well as raising them. Share a little bit about how you still kept the relationship a priority.
Yeah.
Well, I think the most important thing to Jeffrey and I both has always been the relationship. And we always say that's the foundation for everything. Hmm. So if you let that foundation get cracks in it, things are going to start to fall through and things start to fall apart. So I know a lot of couples will make their children the priority. And I might get some flack for this. I adore my children. They are my sun and my moon. And I know Jeffrey feels the same way. But this relationship came first. And our goal as parents is to raise those kids and send them off to have their own lives, right? So this is always the core and the key to everything. And I see so many couples letting that go and not making each other the priority. You know, when you're first meeting, you're in that frequency of love, you know, 500 and above, and everything the other person says to you, you're listening like it's your job, right? Mm. And you, no matter what they're saying, you're just looking and gazing at them with all the gifts and treasures they're bringing you. Life starts to go on, and that frequency, you know, wanes and other things come into life, Jeff. And you have to always remember to treasure the person that you chose and that chose you. And I think that's really important.
It sounds, you know, it sounds like it makes sense, right? Real strong foundation, but life does come in. And how, what's one thing even, like just a simple baby step that a lot of couples could take in the direction of keeping that relationship a priority?
There are a lot, but Jeffrey's favorite.
Yeah, one of my most favorite, and yeah, partially because I started it, but I think it's a great one we share with every young couple that we run into. And we write about this in the book, but we call it the love book. So early on, you know, I started to think about this. You know, I had to spend, obviously, have to spend time in the office. You have to spend time on planes, you know, traveling, that kind of thing. So, you know, I didn't want Karen to feel like she was taking a back seat. So one simple task you can do, we started with, you know, I was writing a love note to Karen every day when I left. Mm. So I would, you know, get up at 4:35 in the morning, whatever it was at the time. And I would always leave a note by the coffee machine. Mm. So when she got up first thing in the morning, she would see that. Now, the note can't be like it evolved into this, what we call a love book. So it's not a to-do list. It's basically just
a love note.
A love note, right. It's sharing, maybe I'm thanking Karen for maybe a meal that she made, or she really looked beautiful the night before, or something she did over the past weekend. But you're basically highlighting something that you really appreciate about the other person.
Love that.
And this turned into a back and forth between Karen and I. And the value there, Jeff, is, you know, twofold. Number one, I always wanted her to feel loved and cared for and safe. You know, I'm traveling. You know, sometimes I'm gone days on end, and I just want her to know that she's the most important person to me. But the other thing is, you know, we're not perfect either. We've we've had words or we have challenges and things.
Absolutely.
When you force yourself to write that love note every day and you force yourself to finish it, and I always say you have to write, I love you, those last three words at the end, something magical happens when you actually physically write that note, find something you really love about the other person, highlight it in the note, and finish with I love you. It lifts up the writer as well. So it's not only for the recipient of the note, it also helps the writer of the note, right?
Absolutely. And I just want to say, Jeffrey would leave these notes before it was booked for 10 years. And
wow.
We had separate closets, and I would post, sometimes he'd leave them on the mirror, and I would tape them up in my closet, and he had some just really beautiful, you know, nothing long, but something really special. If we were out to dinner, you know, he would say, you know, as I was, you know, sitting across from you, I couldn't notice anyone else but you. Something really simple, but makes you feel special.
Yeah.
When life gets in the way, you know, I might have been changing diapers hours before that and, you know, up to here in diaper stuff. And so that reminds you, A, that you're, you know, a romantic couple. It's important to get back to that. And so 10 years in, I thought to myself, hey, I think I'm going to write Jeffrey a love note. So it took me a long time. And the beautiful part about that is, never once did Jeffrey ask for me to write him a note, nor expect me to. He wrote these because that was, you know, something that was really important to him for to share with me. And I think that's so beautiful. Once I started writing back, I will say we each expect, we keep our love book by the coffee machine, and we each expect to see a note in there, not in the bad way of expectation, but in the excitement of a little kid opening up a Christmas present. It's like, okay, what are we going to, you know, what beautifulness am I going to read today? And I find as we get further and further into our relationship, those love notes become so much more powerful.
Yeah. And let me clarify too, because what Karen just said is important. So she writes one back to me. Now I usually am about my day. So I don't read her note until the next morning. So when I wake up first thing the next morning, that's what I see. That's the first thing that I see, right? So it's this give back and forth, right?
There's so much there I wanna unpack. The first thing is this idea of 10 years of consistency. Like in this case, not that Karen wasn't doing a whole lot of things in her way to show her love, but this particular way that, you know, often we love people the way we want to be loved, right? So often I'm like, oh, I would really like to get a note, so I'm going to write a note, right? And then to not have that exact thing be given back, but you stay true to this practice, just give us a little insight, because that feels abnormally incredible.
Yeah, no, thanks. I've pissed off a lot of guys in our day, as I told another couple about, and the wife's looking at him like, what the heck's the matter with you? I generally have a conversation with a guy afterwards, but you know, it's all about giving your 100% plus to the relationship. So Karen and I talk a lot about this in the book as well. I mean, anything that's worth your time and your focus, as essentially your 100% plus, is worth it on an ongoing basis. So you're absolutely right. I mean, these kinds of things that you do in a relationship are not to get something back. It's really just to put in. And, you know, our advice for people that are having a tough time, you know, we just had an Uber driver over in Maui, and he's recently separated, and he was all interested in the story. And we're trying to explain this to him. I mean, you really don't do any of this to get something back. You do this just to give. I mean, In a perfect relationship, you have both people really putting in their 100%. It's not like, hey, I'm only going to do 50% today because she didn't do X, or I'm only going to give my 20% because, you know, she doesn't deserve it because of whatever it is. I mean, it's a very bad, it's a slippery slope, Jeff, that you can get down. Yeah. And you actually have to make the commitment. As Karen said, we all start that way. We're all enamored with each other and listening like it's your job, because it is, right? I mean, that is your job moving forward. You have to look at it this way to make this other person happy. You can't really make somebody else happy, but do what you can to enhance the life of the other person day in and day out, right?
But let's just say, because again, I think doing 10 years consistently of anything is a huge shortfall for most of us, whether that's going for a walk or a run or writing in a journal or taking vitamins. Like it's the ability to stay true to any commitment for our own self-care or growth, or like, I find that incredible in itself. If you said that you had run 3 times a week for the last 10 years, that would be amazing in itself. Even more so that this is in relationship where I think most of us really, it's hard to always be giving 100% without checking in saying, well, did I get everything I wanted today, or why am I doing more? So just, I love this. I love the Love Book. I love everything about this, but I want to take a minute just to ask again, how do we foster that good habit? Just any good habit, but just how do you find yourself able to just stay true to an action, a beneficial action day after day?
Well, you know, once you make a commitment to whatever it is, you have a goal, you make a commitment to that goal, you have to set the intention. And the intention works two ways. You know, one, the intention is, you know, me actually doing it. And the other outer intention is, you know, the universe bringing it back to you. But that, the inner intention of me actually doing the task, that's what's key, Jeff. So if you want to make anything a habit, you basically have to do it for, you know, people say 30, 45 days, whatever. I think that's about right. If you do the same thing every day at a certain time for 30 or 45 days, it becomes a habit. So, you know, think about it like this cup of coffee, right? First thing I do when I get up in the morning, I usually, if I wake up in a hotel, where's the coffee? If I'm back at Copper Mountain, I know where it is. I go, I'll press the button on the machine. It's a habit. I guess I'm somewhat addicted to caffeine, so I have to go out and get my cup of coffee every single day. You can do that with anything. So if I'm going to leave Karen a note and I want her to feel safe and loved and secure, and I'm going to write her a note every single day, I'm going to do that every single day for 30 to 45 days. And if you do that, one day that you don't do it, it feels like, wait, what happened? I stepped off the path. It's a habit. So you do it every single day. So whether it's, you know, for 10 months or 10 years or 100 years, it becomes a habit, and it's just what you do every single day. And I think, you know, you can do that with anything. It's like, you know, Karen's been pretty hardcore with our, you know, plant-based eating and, you know, the dedication to certain things. And once you make the commitment, you just make sure you just do it.
I love that. It reminds me of that quote, being 99% committed to something's very hard, because there's always this chance that you might not do it. But being 100% committed is easy, because there's no choice. You're in. So just, you guys are 100%ers.
We are. And you know, I used to use a similar example to Jeffrey when I went plant-based, and I told him, when I make a commitment to something, you know, I'm very committed. So as far as our marriage, there's one way out, and we're not quite ready for that. I think everything that's happened to us lately has shown that we still need to stay on this planet for a little bit longer. But I was that committed with my plant-based. And in the beginning, Jeffrey wasn't 100% on board. So I used the example of marriage and relationships. And I said, well, then is it like the 80-20 rule or the 90-10 rule with marriage and a relationship? Is that the same thing? And it put it into perspective for him when you make a commitment that, you know, a commitment is 100%. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing things in moderation and doing an 80-20 if that's the initial setup, right?
Sure. Well, and I think just because this idea of commitment feels, I live in Los Angeles, nobody here commits to anything. I mean, like literally this is an entire city that's built on being non-committal. I mean, it's just as a citywide value. So we really have to be conscious about our commitments. And I think you're sharing just the power of committing, and it doesn't have to be like, I'm never going to have sweets again, or I'm always going to, like, it can be a commitment to do it once a week or 3 times a week, but it's just this idea of committing at a level that we can keep that commitment. And something, can you say something around this? Because I'd like people to feel like they could try on this, you know, give it a try in a way that, you know, that might be not as intense as they're hearing, you know.
I think that's a great point. And it goes back to that 80-20. If you are going to set a commitment, set the parameters of what the commitment is. If you say, I'm going to do something 100%, then do it 100%. But if it's something you want to try on, I think it's more realistic for some people to start off with, you know, a percentage. So I'm going to do this on, you know, Mondays and Wednesdays, or I'm going to do this X percentage, or I am, oh, you know, we used to have this program with our food we call the Weekender, where, you know, Monday through Friday we ate, you know, very healthy. And on the weekend, a lot of times it was out of our control because we were out and about and whatever. And so we just didn't think about it. So whatever it is that you are setting your goals to, you know, set the parameters. Now, with that said, I like to tell people, take 30 days and try to do it 100%, you know, and see what happens. Because if you do that and you are consistent and it's important to you, and that's the key, like these love notes, our relationship is the most important thing to both of us. So those love notes were very important to Jeffrey to write and really important for me to receive. And believe me, we're not perfect. I know we've talked about this. There were times when we may have had some words, and I'm sure the last thing that he wanted to do was write me a love note and then tell me that he loved me at, you know, at that time, because I'm sure that, you know, we had plenty of times throughout our 29 years where we have felt moments of disappointment with each other.
Sure.
And he always followed through because he made the commitment. And what happens is it's like smiling. If you smile, you know, they've done studies, you know, it makes somebody else smile. If you look in the mirror and you're feeling down, they say, look in the mirror and smile at yourself. You're going to be smiling back because you're looking in the mirror. But it's a factual thing that starts to happen.
I love it. And I know that there's a lot of different areas of life that we could focus on. But if you don't mind us staying with relationships for just a couple minutes more, because...
Your favorite topic.
Good. Because I feel like, maybe I'm just projecting here, but there's just a lot of missing in that, a lot of craving for some support and not knowing where to go with it. So I'd be interested, other little tips or nuggets of wisdom that you've found really support creating that nurturing relationship over time?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it is too, you know, the focus on the relationship. So, you know, because I did have to travel, you know, when I got home, you know, I was never much of a golfer, for instance, you know, because I came home on the weekend. I thought it was always crazy when, you know, I saw the guy say, hey, honey, I haven't seen you all week, but I'll see you on Sunday night because I'm going to, yeah, I got to golf.
A lot of golfers are going to be very unhappy with you right now.
Yeah, and
but this was a conscious choice he made.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just golf, but it's anything else. So it's, we really focus on spending time together, I guess is where I want to go with this. So, you know, there's another thing that's not the most popular is, you know, a lot of people do a lot of, you know, guys' nights out and gals' nights out, you know, where, you know, you do your separate thing. We're really big on, if you're going to make this commitment and you really want to build on the relationship, we're best friends. So, you know, if we're going to go out with a group of people, we're going out together. I mean, that's just the way it works. And, you know, it's worked really well for us, you know, because it can be pretty dangerous in a lot of those situations where you're apart a lot in social scenes and there's drinking and things like that. And maybe someone was angry and then, okay, there's someone else is paying more attention to them, you know, this slippery slope that you get down. So I think, you know, one of the other helpful tips on relationships is really trying to focus on spending quality time together. And quality time is, yeah, you know, listening to each other and focused. When I say focused, you know, you really focus, and I really care what Karen has to say. I care what she wants to do today. You know, what we're going to do together, right? Yeah.
Let's explore that idea, because I think time together and quality time together can be very different things. So Karen, could you both share a little bit about how you create quality time? And listening, obviously, was one thing that you guys mentioned.
And I just want to touch back on that golf, because I don't want people to say, well, why should I give up my passions? Because I think it's super important to embrace your passions. But for Jeffrey and I would say skiing would be equivalent to someone else's golfing,
yeah,
right? And so that's something that we do together. We love to ski together.
Great point.
And, you know, I know a lot of couples where maybe one is a better skier than the other, or one is a better golfer or tennis player than the other. It'd be very easy to say, hey, you go off with the gals, I'm going to go off with the guys, and, you know, I'll see you in 9 hours, which didn't really work for us because, a lot of the times we hadn't seen each other all week. So we've always embraced each other's passions, and we have really grown to enjoy our ski days together. We ski, you know, every day that we can together, or during the summer, we hike together, we go out in nature together. Sometimes we go out and meditate by a rock and do nothing together. But it's the fact that we're enjoying the experience of life together, as opposed to off with somebody else. And like Jeffrey said, those guys' nights out and girls' nights out were never a big thing for us. We love to go out as a couple with our friends and enjoy company that way, or have people over, or go to their house, or but to go off and hang out with a, you know, a group of girls when I haven't had quality time with my husband. Most people do work most days, and by the time you come home from work, have dinner, if you have a family, you know, you're talking about maybe 15 minutes in the day. So the time, the weekends during those earlier years, now every day is kind of a weekend. Right. The weekends are to be treasured, and you really need to make the choice. Would you rather go off and golf with your guy friends for 9 hours, or would you rather golf or ski or sit by a rock with the person that you chose to spend your life with, that you're going to spend the next 50 plus years with? You know, again, everything is a choice, Jeff.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'd add to that, it's, we're not saying that, you know, you never do that stuff and never be apart, because, you know, we're not together 100% of the time, but that needs to be the focus, that most of the time you need to be doing things together and want to do the things together. And I think to answer your question, set up so that it's something that you both want to do, that you both, you know, it's not painful for one to go through it. I mean, you know, there are things that I've done that Karen wants to do more so than myself, or watch a certain movie or whatever. And, you know, I would do that, and then she's done the same. So you've got to make some exceptions and be a little bit flexible for these kinds of things. But for the most part, you know, you want to be setting up time together, doing things together, that hopefully it's something that you both somewhat want to do.
You know, but to this, again, this is just so rich to me, because the word that often comes up when people do that is sacrifice. Like, oh, I'm sacrificing to watch this movie, I don't really like that, or I'll go golfing with him because, but that's a, it's a sacrifice.
Right.
Versus this kind of, what I hear from you guys is this constant, the foundation of, I really want to spend time with this person. I want to be interested in them. I want to get to know them. So I'm curious if you can share, because I think you guys somehow do it naturally or have been very conscious for very long and it's a habit, but how does this quality time of staying interested in what your partner is up to or wants become the way that you spend your time together on the weekends?
This is a great question. And it's much bigger than even just this time on the weekends. So, you know, as we're digging deep in the book and studying, you know, human psychology, you're really touching on something that I think I'm going to kind of see if I can describe this. But, you know, if you want something, truly want something, a goal, and right now we're talking about, you know, as close to perfect relationship as possible, I was going to say the perfect relationship. You want a good relationship with somebody. If that's truly your goal, you have to truly want that. So when you want to manifest something into your life, one of the first steps is you have to know exactly what that is, mm-hmm. exactly what it is. How does that feel? How is that going to look? You know, what is that like? And you have to know that exactly. So, Jeff, you're touching on something it's pretty tough when you talk to somebody that doesn't have something. Let's just say it's probably easier to talk about a job and they want to make a lot of money. They want to do this job and make a lot of money. You know, I had a lot of salespeople working for me. They need to make X amount of money. I say, okay, if you want to do that, then you have to do A, B, and C. We talk through it. Yep, they'd all be nodding their head, going through, yes, I have to do that. Then, I, you know, 2, 3, 6 months later, they're not doing what we discussed to get there. So you've got to ask yourself, why? Did they really want that? Did they really want that money? Did they need that money? Does someone really want this relationship? Because if you truly do, once you define that goal, if you truly want it, the next thing is intention, setting the intention to get there. And that's the inner intention, the steps to get there that, you know, we're doing to get there, and the outer intention, the universe bringing that back to you. So, you know, it's a tough one if someone says, hey, I don't know. I can't really stay committed to that. If I'm going to dig deeper with them, I'm going to ask them, is that truly what you want? Do you truly want to be with that woman? Do you truly want to be in that job?
So let me, I'm going to interrupt because I feel like, again, there is a foundational thing that of course we would want, of course, most of us would really want to feel that deep level of connection.
Right.
But this idea of that it's not necessarily easy, to your point of writing a love note, even after, you know, having words and still doing, like most of us are like, you know, screw that. Like that's, we're really quick to not, when a deeper desire for all of us would be to be in great relationship, but it's not easy. Just, and the other thing I just want to throw out for you guys to both react to is, you said to know exactly what that is. I find the idea of relationship is often either based in a child's fairy tale or some sort of People magazine, like the idea of people hanging out with a real couple, a good example of what this can look like is rare. I mean, I just don't know that a lot of us have that touch point.
Right.
And so we're gathering our definition of what we think it we want as either ridiculous, you know, it's just not real. So can that's a lot, but could you kind of go wherever you'd like with that?
Yes. Well, I'd love to start on that. First of all, I think People Magazine is, you've got a lot of layers on People Magazine, you know, so, and nothing against it. I enjoy it. So, you know, it's just fun stuff. But I will take it back to the childhood fantasy, because for me, I always knew that I wanted to, you know, get married and have a family. I've known that since I was a little girl, and I had a, you know, a vision of exactly how it was going to be. And on our third date, I had a great job, and I was making my own good income, and I enjoyed my job. But, you know, as Jeffrey's talking about my job, et cetera, I was sharing my life passions with them. And I told him on our third date, I said, yeah, you know, my plan though is that I really want to get married and have a family. And I wasn't looking to just get married and have a family. I had a vision of extraordinary love. And I had in my mind a set of criteria. I had actually written a paper in college in an honors English class. We had this fantastic teacher who would just let us be so creative. I wrote a paper on my perfect partner. And it's wild because when I met Jeffrey, he fit that criteria. So again, it goes back to putting out to the universe exactly what you're looking for. And right down to the physical attributes. And I want to touch on that just briefly, because the physical attributes are not important in the big scope of things. And again, I had no idea if he was going to look the way he looked after that accident anyway. But you do need to know who you're looking for. So when you meet them, you know, because you can see some of their aura and energy from across the room, but you can't see what's inside from across the room. So you really have to set your intentions for the physicality of this person. And then the most important things are the qualities that this person has. But I also want to go and touch upon when you were talking about relationships and the day-to-day things. You know, I think it's really important to remember when you first met somebody that, you know, took your breath away, right? And your frequency is basically off the charts. You wouldn't care if you had to watch, you know, romantic comedy instead of a shoot up, right? I mean, you'll pretty much go to the ballet or the opera, whatever it is that is not your thing, to be with this person in the beginning. And it really needs to be that way all the time. The reason we do it in the beginning is we are in such a joyous state. We're overflowing with so much joy and love. We don't need it to come back to us in order to make ourselves feel complete. And so we get the joy. We have so much overflowing. We get more abundant joy by seeing the joy that the person that we are, you know, in love with is getting from these experiences. And that is a whole nother set of, you know, beautiful elements in a relationship that we forget about in the day to day.
One thing I do want to touch on, Jeff, because you said it, it's so important, and it's so important for your listeners to understand this as well. I mean, this is not an easy one. You said that, you know, people think of the perfect relationship, it's something they read in People magazine, which is, you know, it all doctored up or, you know, a fairy tale. You're absolutely right. So if it's not one of those, then what is it? This is what I would ask. What is it that you want? I mean, you have to define it. I mean, this is hard for people. I mean, this is crazy. And it's like, oh, Jeffrey, of course, I told you, like, oh, of course I want to make $1 million. Okay. You want to make $1 million. Why? Why do you need $1 million? I mean, because realistically, we travel around the country a lot. I see people all over every walk of life. Guess what? In this country, people do very well for themselves. And some people are just fine if they get 3 meals a day and there's a roof over their head and they get to do what they want. So maybe they're fine just doing that and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, we don't have time to dig into it all here, but we've got a whole section of our life now focused on minimalism and getting by with a lot less than what we thought we needed. And that's been enlightening, and that's been really great for us. But the point is, you have to know exactly what you want, whether it's that job or that relationship or that lifestyle, but you need to know exactly what it is. Like if you really dig in, I'd like to spend an hour with someone asking about this goal and why. Why do you need this? Why do you want it? What's it going to do for you? And if you can answer all those questions and define it, then you know what it is. But I think you touched on something very important here. A lot of people don't know what the hell they want. Mm-hmm. And then, so guess what? It's easy to fall off the wagon when something didn't go right. Because guess what? I probably really didn't want that anyway. That's not really that important to me. Right?
Right.
So I think this getting interested, what I heard is how you guys do for each other in terms of getting interested in what each other wants. If we could all start by doing that with ourselves, like really get interested, be curious about what it is that we want and go deeper than just the $1 million or a perfect relationship, like start to do that paper. I love the idea of a college level paper, really having to explore attributes. And you said something, Karen, which I think is this great place to start, is this idea of qualities that you want to be around, or you want someone to, you know, a partner to have, or that you want yourself to be representing. And I just would like to ask, because this is just such a fun topic for me, is when you think about qualities for each other, I'm just going to put you both on the spot, but Karen, could you share one quality that you really appreciate about Jeffrey and what it is about that you love? And then I'll just ask you guys to switch that, because I think
this is going to be really hard for, I don't know how you're going to pick just one.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's really difficult to pick just one because you do have so many amazing qualities that I was able to check off my list. And I just want to say, when you are choosing the qualities that are important to you, you don't need to compromise on those. I thought I did, you know, in a different relationship where some things meet and some things don't, but you don't need to compromise, and that's very important. So I'd have to say, and there's so many phenomenal qualities about you, Jeffrey, but, and I'm sure you're not going to be surprised, your humor. Your humor is what attracted me to you from the very beginning. He made me laugh all the time and still does. And, you know, we've been dealt some cards that haven't always been very fun or funny, or, you know, we've had our share of tragedies. And throughout our almost 29 years of marriage, I don't think a day has gone by where I haven't had an amazing laugh from you. And that is such a gift, because laughter is just, it's the best. And, you know, we all need to have more of it. It's really that joyful squeal coming out of us, you know, that we did as a kid all the time. And we hold back so much of it. Even when things are funny, people will hold back now. So his humor.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jeffrey.
There are so many too. I think what I would probably pull out is the fact that, you know, Karen, you know, cares for me, you know, as much as she does for herself. And, you know, I think that's really important too. Just knowing that you're loved and cared for. I mean, I think that's probably the one thing I'd point to. You know, and I know you're pretty big on this too. Jeff touched upon it, having your self-love first. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important, Jeff, that we have to love ourselves first. You know, fill yourself up first before you can overflow anything over. So, you know, I think Karen has that. And then coming back to me, the caring you have for me.
Thank you.
So as we kind of head into the home stretch here, can you share, I think self-care and self-love really as this initial starting point for people to build great relationships, to have a life of, you know, great health and outrageous love. Give us a nugget, something that we could, again, take a step in that direction of greater self-love.
Well, I think it's really important to know that everything's possible. And, you know, again, going back to your childhood and being a baby, we're born these perfect beings. So it's really important to peel back those layers that have covered it up and to not own them, but to acknowledge them so that you can release them out. And that is one thing that, you know, we try to do on a daily basis, because the world is a magical place, but there are forces that are still trying to, you know, put themselves upon every individual and sort of mask all these, you know, this happiness, this self-love, and, you know, picking up a magazine and looking at somebody that's 20 and 30 years younger than me and, you know, or thinner or sexier or wealthier. You know, there's always something out there to make us feel less. And it's really important to know that we are all part of one. And so therefore, we are all everything. And we are beautiful just the way we are. And that is so important for self-love. Strip away, acknowledge anything that might have happened in your past that is making you feel unworthy or making you feel like you don't deserve, because everybody deserves to have their dreams come true. And we have people telling us that have what we have now, you know who you are, that were in relationships or marriages or points in their life where they have come back and told us, I thought you guys were just full of it. I thought that you're just projecting out this type of, you know, outrageous love, but it's not real. So I don't know if they thought when we went home, it was a totally different story, but they now have it and they get it. And I think a big part of that is believing in yourself, believing what you want, and believing everything is possible.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the people that you're talking about, these are friends that, you know, we're along in our years and you start to figure these things out, Jeff. So the layers that society puts on us that you have to start peeling back on what's important as you get to the core. Sometimes it takes some time and some longevity in life and some understanding. Like, you know, you don't have to be the old man on the hill sitting up there meditating, you know, all knowing. But I mean, you do have to figure some of this stuff out and what's important. And getting back to, as Karen said, that core that we were born with, we were all born as, you know, perfect beings. And all this stuff that has happened to us, have been taught to us, you know, we've been educated, you know, call it what you want. Some of that stuff has to be ripped down, right?
It's beautiful. So what I hear on that for all of us, you know, listening to this, is that we can each day just see what's in the way of the beauty that's already there. We're just actually letting go of something. So acknowledging it, letting it go. That's something that actually someone could do on a daily basis, is what's in the way of me feeling my inner beauty or my inner love. Okay, I get that happened. And then what if I just let that go for today? With something like that, is that something that...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I was just going to say too, even as you're saying this, it's one of the little games you can play with yourself is as you meet everybody on the street today, when we walk out of here and go down to breakfast and go walk down to the beach, you know, we do things like this. Try to find the good in every person. You know, you've heard of be a good finder. And you know, what's interesting about that, when you're looking for the good in everybody around you, you know, life has this, we call it the boomerang effect. Whatever you put out there comes back at you. So if you're looking for the good in every person you run into, I don't care if it's, you know, a homeless person. You know, I went out there this morning and, you know, it's still dark. The coffee wasn't ready. And there's, you know, three dudes down here sleeping on the beach. And I'm looking at them like thinking, man, they've got the life. You know, I traveled all the way the heck out of here. I'm paying a lot of money in this hotel. These guys are just sleeping on the beach. Now, that's a very different way to look at it. And someone may want to shoo them off the beach if they're homeless. I don't know what the story is. But you understand my point. It's like these guys are living right there on the beach. The ocean's right there. I mean, it's incredible. So, I mean, there's a lot of good in that.
And they got it made. If you want to look at their life you know, that way. And Jeff, the other thing that I highly recommend people do, make a 24-hour period a no critical day. You are not allowed to criticize yourself.
I love that.
And every time that you do, you know, put a quarter in a jar, and I'm telling you what, it's very difficult to get through 24 hours in a day until you've practiced this. You're going to save some good bank right there.
That could solve our retirement issue, our retirement problem, I think, right there. So
we can skip that segment.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. So the goal really with this, I hope everyone listening, there's so many pearls, no pun intended, of wisdom here. So listen a bunch of times, and wherever you are in your life, but relationships really are central, they're core. And there are things that we can all be doing on a daily basis to strengthen who we are in relationship, who we attract in relationship, and then most importantly, who we continue to be over time. And these guys are living proof of what's possible. They're experts. They're going to be sharing more and more of their wisdom in different ways, which I'd like to just, I know people are going to want more of you. So where can they find more of you?
Well, we have a YouTube channel, Karen and Jeffrey Pearl, and we would love to see everyone there. And there's an area, once you subscribe, there's an area at the bottom of each video where you can make comments, but you can also ask questions or put in information of things you'd like to talk more about or hear more about. And we are on top of that YouTube channel, you know, throughout the day. It's really important to us because we have found that it is a way to engage with people around the world. And we're so grateful that we're engaging with people, you know, everywhere on the globe immediately. And I would say that, so the YouTube channel, Karen and Jeffrey Pearl. And then the other area is going to be that book, which is guaranteed to be available in December. By December 4th. So I would say by November, the book will be out. And we're really excited about the book. I have to say, as Jeffrey and I are going through and editing it, we've realized that one of the reasons we are still here, because we've had a couple of near-death experiences lately, as recent as you know, 10 days ago. Yeah, 10 days ago. And you can see that on our YouTube video. But the reason we're still here is that we want to share this book. And as we talked about early on, you know, we're sharing a message that you may have heard elsewhere. We just hope that whoever's listening to it from our perspective, you know, has that aha moment. And we like to think that because we do have almost 29 years of marriage under our belt, that people will really listen to it, as opposed to you're not going to go to a relationship counselor that's, you know, going through a divorce or that's been divorced or that hasn't had the success. And, you know, whenever you want to learn about something, you go to that person or people who've had the success. So that's going to be a big part of our book. I'm super excited.
The book is called Great Health, Abundant Happiness, Outrageous Love. We will continue to update our tribe as that gets closer to release. In the meantime, we'll also put the links to their YouTube channel in the description for this show. And just in general, you guys really do represent true success. And I think as we talk to a lot of people who have made, you know, success starting in that financial world, and that's, again, a lot of our default definition, I think it's important to remember the greatest study, I think Harvard or whatever, they've had this longevity study of what's a great life. And it comes down to having great relationships and being a great, you know, being great in relationship. And you guys, your message, the work you're doing now is just so critical for so many of us. So I want to just thank you guys for being who you are, for who you've been your entire lives, and for sharing this time with us on the Best Year of Your Life podcast. Thank you guys both so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Awesome.
Thank you for tuning in, and remember to connect with us on LinkedIn and Facebook at Enjoy Global. Or if you are interested in transforming your culture and would like to have an exploratory call of how Enjoy Global could help your organization, please visit our website at enjoyglobal.com, InjoyGlobal.com, and schedule a demo or free culture assessment discovery call. I'm Jeff Baietto, reminding you that you can indeed enjoy success.